Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
There, everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right, it's me again, y'all's amigo, Mr. Cameron Hale, and as always, the fella, the hostess with the mostest, that likes to eat the hostess, Mr. Kyle Filson, a.k.a. Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? I'm here in studio. It's a cold evening here in Texas.
Woo, right?
I'm ready for fall. I'm glad it's here, but yeah, it was about 16 degrees this morning.
Yeah.
But I like it. This time of year, you know, of course, is my favorite. It's got everything I like, you know, from the hockey to the football to the Thanksgiving that's coming up.
I can't wait.
And the holiday season, of course. Yeah, that's right. We got a lot of birthdays coming up. Cam's birthday's next week. Luke's birthday's sometime next week. Sometime, like I don't know the date. It's the 24th. Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
Sometime.
Week,
yeah. I want to remind him of that when he's older.
Oh, man.
Your daddy forgot your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I'm confused because we're not celebrating it till like the following weekend.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with having, I'm sure lots of people out there have birthdays on Christmas or Thanksgiving or any holiday like that. No one ever comes to Luke's birthday parties because they're always out of town for Thanksgiving.
You're preaching to the choir now, brother.
Right, so we are delaying it by a week.
Yeah, I didn't get mine delayed. I just never had them.
Oh, no, man. I didn't.
My dad probably thought I wouldn't remember them.
I don't like. I did when I was a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, oh, my God, another year went by?
Yeah.
Again?
I don't celebrate those. I'll celebrate my next one when I turn 65.
Yeah, and the kids, they'll be out of school all next week, so.
If, let me rephrase that. If I can make it to 65.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that, right?
Right. I can go that long.
We went to the movies, me and my wife, the other day. We watched that movie Overlord. That was really good.
I had gone. Yeah, because remember I told you I was going to see it with my daughter. We went and saw it opening evening, and I'm a big fan.
It was pretty cool.
Bro, I dig it. I really dig it.
You know, I don't know what it is, but it's just like when you comes up with top secret dark research, and if it's they got the Nazis in it, it's for whatever reason.
You're in?
I believe it.
I'm in.
I'm like, yeah, I could totally see that happening.
Like The Man in the High Castle. I told you about that. You loved it, right?
Loved it.
It's that era.
Is something about
era, era.
Are you, what's his name? Kennedy?
Yeah. Off of one of the Stearns used to do it on Stearns.
Yeah, yeah.
Era. Was it Ted?
I don't remember.
Used to make
which
fun
one.
One of those Kennedys.
Speaking of Kennedy, we just partnered up with Parcast and we're going to be releasing some stuff about Kennedy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
it's going to
be
awesome.
Like in 2 weeks. I look forward to that.
Yeah,
it's, anyways, they're going to be launching some new podcasts.
You want to talk about cold. You should have felt my toes after I got out of the bow stand the other night.
Was it bad?
Dude, I think it took 2 hours before I could feel them again, man. And I had like wool socks on, all kinds of stuff. Like, nah, player, you ain't going to feel your toes for a while.
You've been building fires in your fireplace?
I actually have not built one.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. My family's mad at me, the whole thing, the whole deal. I've got to get some more wood brought. But no, I just, my niece, my great niece that's three. She had to go to the hospital, spend a couple of nights in the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with her. She'd gotten sick. She'd come down with strep, and it just one thing led to another, and they were running some tests on her. But she's back now. She feels great. She feels amazing. So my wife was going and keeping our great nephew, her little brother, while their part of the family was at the hospital. Mm-hmm. My wife was staying to keep the little one that's like, what, 3 weeks old. I mean, he's a little tiny potato. He looks like if you were to take like the old man off of Up and smash him down into a potato, that's what he looks like.
That's hilarious.
All babies look the same. They look like little mad potatoes whenever you got them. Like little, what were that thing? What was it? Glow worm. Remember that crazy glow worm when we were kids?
Yeah, they still make those.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Imagine that in like a this is going to sound terrible, a fleshy colored glow worm. And that's what he looked like, just a little grub or some sort. But yeah, I mean, he's cute. I love him already, but I mean, it's going to be one of those deals. I hope he cutens up as he gets older, because right now he looks like a little spud, like a little carved up spud man.
You hope he cutens up. I don't know if that's a real word, but I like it.
It's a real word now. But yeah, okay. So Overlord, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Jam up flick. I'm a fan. We're also going this week, my daughter and I think my wife is going to go, I don't know, to see the new Fantastic Beasts, the Crimes of Grindelwald or whatnot, which is like all the prequel stuff to Harry Potter. Because my daughter's about Harry Potter the way we were about Star Wars. That's her jam.
I got you.
So and you know what? I could tell back in the day, if I'd have been a kid when that came out, I think I'd have been all about the Harry Potter. It's pretty jam up. I enjoy it.
I've only seen like one or two episodes. But from what I saw, it looked pretty cool.
I was the same way, but with her, I had to sit down and watch it and have her kind of explain some stuff to me, even from the jump, because she read all the books, seen all the movies. Hell, she's got a Deathly Hallows tattoo now. I mean, she's about it. She loves all that Harry Potter stuff. But this Fantastic Beast, have you seen that one?
Nope, I haven't seen that one either.
Watch, do you have HBO yet? I've got the standalone service, the little HBO thing. We got that because we were all excited to watch Westworld and all that stuff. Watch it on there now. It's the Fantastic Beast and Where to Find Them. It's one of my favorite ones because it takes place like back in the 20s or 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. So the next one that comes out, it's coming out this week. We're going to check it out too. So I'll let you know how that thing goes. But folks, from Kyle and I, if you dig like Wolfenstein stuff, like the old video game where they're running around, if you dig that kind of stuff, you're going to really, really enjoy Overlord.
Yeah. Back in the day when I remember being in computer science courses in high school, you know, learning to program like Turbo Pascal and stuff, I'd secretly have another tab open. I just play Wolfenstein the whole time.
What was the other one? The trail? What was Oregon Trail?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you die from
dysentery or
from
something.
The runs, baby?
Yeah, that was earlier than Wolfenstein. Yeah. That was like super basic.
How terrible was that game?
Terrible. But at the time, legit. It was cutting edge.
Like Pong.
Yeah.
Legit.
I'm like, I got to fire up my computer. I'm using DOS. And then you like, you know, you put in the Oregon Trail.
The floppy.
Yeah, it was on a floppy disk.
Floppy disk in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, dude, look it up. You'll be blown away. Speaking of blown away, Brett, you and I have been talking about, we're planning some hunting trips for next year. We're going to try to go to Colorado and New Mexico to go do some bow hunting and all that stuff. Before we go, you might want to take a look at this right here. There's been a dogman encounter in Colorado.
Oh.
Yeah. From our buddies at Cryptozoology News, says a man in Colorado claims that he saw a creature that looked like a mix between a human and a dog. And I don't know about y'all, and I'm no professional, but that sounds like a dog man. Says the man, whose name wasn't provided, said on MUFON that he was driving home from work after picking up his dog when he encountered this strange being back in October. Now, he explains that he noticed the dog was getting anxious, so he pulled over to let her out. Says that she wouldn't do her business, but she started barking. And at first, I thought she was barking at the traffic, but there was no traffic. Now, this fella's from Boulder, Colorado. He says that's when he noticed five lights hovering in the distance. He said, I quickly put the dog in the car and went to investigate. He said the lights rose higher and then got smaller and zigzagged. Well, they got smaller because they rose higher. That's kind of the way
it works.
That's how this works.
Law perspective.
That's right. Well, it's not really a law, is it?
It's not. And this is Boulder, Colorado. So I wonder if it's Eagle McMahon that saw this.
I don't know. How good is the weed in Colorado? So he says, he got back in his car, okay, but now he says after it vanished, he's like, whoa. So he gets back in his car, says the dog's terrified. He said, I tried to comfort her. And that's when I noticed something moving in the corner of my eye. So I looked up and saw something run behind my car through the taillights. And he describes this creature as having red fur and a tail, but he said it also had, you ready for this, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
A human face.
A human face?
A human face. He said it's hard to describe. He goes on to say that the dog was terrified when they got home and wouldn't leave the car. He said, I've even had a few nightmares after that. So that was the encounter. He saw a dog with a human face. My thing is this.
Well, that's the Jimmikin, isn't it?
Ooh,
Japan? Isn't that a dog with a human face?
Yeah.
One of my favorite cryptids of all time.
No, it's not. You hate that thing.
If I saw it, I'd hate it.
Okay, so my question is this. It had a human face. Could this have been a Sasquatch that maybe because... I've not heard of a dog man in a UFO, but we've talked about UFOs in conjunction with Sasquatch.
Absolutely.
So maybe it was maybe you didn't see a tail. Maybe it was the long arm in the back as it ran by. Maybe it's a Sasquirt up there. Who knows?
Who knows? But speaking of Bigfoot, check this out. This is a story from over there. Phantoms and Monsters. Lon posted this up. This is pretty interesting. This person says, I was hiking up in the Cascades in Oregon. I was in a more remote area of the range when this happened. On the sixth or seventh day on the trail, the hair on the back of my neck started standing up. I chalked it up to being a mountain lion or something else in the area, but the weird thing was the uneasy feeling never left me. That night is when I first heard the howling. It wasn't wolves or bears or any other animal that I've ever heard. The closest thing I could relate it to is the noises apes and monkeys make. This persisted for the next few nights. Eventually, things started rummaging around through my campsite at night, and naturally, I assumed it was a bear or perhaps some raccoons. But then on the 11th day, I woke up and my food bag was removed from the tree. Something had cut the line all the way through. All my food was gone. I decided to keep pushing. I had 4 days left until the end of the trail. I'm familiar with what I can and can't eat in the area, and I could always fish for more food. The same nightly activities occurred, and on the 13th night, something started throwing rocks at my tent. For some reason, I lost it. I screamed into the darkness for whatever it was to leave me alone, hoping it was just some person messing around with me, and maybe they'd scream out, "Sorry, mate," or something. Instead, it grew quiet for the first time in many nights. Nothing could be heard. Then, a scream louder and more vicious than any other night cut through the night air. Then nothing. Complete and utter silence again. Despite it being quiet, I wasn't able to sleep that night at all, so I just waited. The next day, I continued my hike, dead tired, just wanting to get out of the woods. The hair on the back of my neck was still standing, the forest was still quiet, and I felt like I was being hunted. Towards the end of the day, I had sat down to rest before pushing a few more miles. That's when I saw it. Something tall, something large, bigger than any man or animal I've ever seen, sliding through the forest, not making a noise. I yelled at it. It turned to even look at me. I never got a good look at it through the trees and the brush because it was dark, but I knew that whatever it was causing all this commotion. I threw a rock at it and then pulled out my knife. This thing just kept staring at me. I don't know what kicked in, but I no longer felt scared. I was angry, and I was tired of this thing messing with me. I quickly moved towards it. It turned and bolted away into the forest. I thought about following it, but its long strides would have easily outpaced me. I backtracked my way back to my backpack and to the resting area. I was exhausted, and I made camp there. It was another night of pure silence. I woke up the next day and had about a 10-mile hike until I was totally out. Exhausted, hungry, mentally drained, I made my way out. As I got closer and closer to the end of the trail, the typical forest noises all returned. Birds, bugs, mice running through the undergrowth, all these noises slowly returned. I no longer had this feeling of unease. I got to the trail's end, I sat in my car. That's when I broke down. I was never a believer in Bigfoot, but that thing was not another person or a human. I told a park ranger about it, and he jokingly said that they have a bunch of Bigfoot sightings in the area, but most likely it was a local screwing around with me, and it was my own imagination. I do a lot of long hikes, but that 15 days was by far the worst. CR. That's a crazy story.
That's a very crazy story. I don't think it's solo anybody hiking. Messing around with
Dan, you would get... No.
That's the best way to get the air let out of you, if you're going to be messing around up there like that.
But, you know, you talk about doing solo hiking.
Yes.
You talk about going the Appalachian Trail. What's the long trail that you're planning on doing one day?
All three. I'm gonna do the Triple Crown, but the AT will probably be the first one.
Okay, so... I mean, that sounds like this is kind of what he's doing, a smaller version of that. But this dude's going on like a 15-day long solo hike, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
But something is pestering and messing with him almost every night. That's
following along.
Yeah.
Following along. What's that sound like?
Yeah.
Glimmer Man.
Sounds like the Glimmer Man. Speaking of the Glimmer Man, man, have we struck a chord with the audience? Folks, we thought this was just a few rare occasions that people had seen this thing. Apparently, a lot of people have been seeing that. We've been getting a bunch of emails. We'll be reading those on a future show about encounters with the Glimmer Man. And on today's show, though, we have some audio recordings that were sent to us by a friend of the show, Derek Hayes. He runs an amazing podcast called the Monsters Among Us podcast. If you're into cryptozoology, if you're into people giving their firsthand encounters with the strange and unusual things, you need to check out that podcast. It's called Monsters Among Us. And Derek was kind enough to send us two audio recordings of a guy and his wife who had some strange encounters. And these things sound exactly like the Glimmer Man. So let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to check those out. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Like before the break, I was talking about, we've been getting a lot of emails of people seeing these strange encounters with something that looks a lot like the Predator.
Yeah.
And Derek, our friend Derek, who runs his own podcast, he heard some of those stories that we read, and he reached out to us and said, man, I've had a couple of my listeners actually send in their stories and encounters. And it sounds a heck of a lot like what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. I like the name, the Glimmer Man. We didn't really know what to call it, so everybody always calls it the Predator. But the Glimmer Man is better. And so he sent these audio recordings to us. And it's a guy and a wife. Justin and Jen are their names. And they were taking their kids to an amusement park somewhere in Idaho. And they got off trail. And what they saw was pretty incredible. So let's take a listen.
Hi, my name's Justin. Stories from 2016, the summertime. My wife and I and her two daughters and then our one daughter lived in Washington State, and we wanted to take our kids to a theme park. And the closest one really to us is in Idaho. It used to be Dollywood, and it turned into Silverwood. We were going to go there. So we packed up the kids and headed on I-90 to that area. And when we got there, we found a place to shelter. We had a Chiweenie, so we sheltered the dog, and we went to go get a hotel, and we didn't really plan ahead or think about, it being summertime or whatnot. So for like 30 miles around that place, we could not find a hotel. There was not one open, and there was nowhere to camp at the actual Silverwood itself. It was sold out. So we went to campgrounds around there because there's a lot, in the area, and they were literally all booked up. But one of them gave us this piece of paper with like directions out into federal land, like kind of heading east towards like Lake Pend-Oreal out there. Anyway, it says there's a lot of free camping out there, but it just kind of sent you. It was odd. So we got this paper and we went towards there. We were looking at Google Maps, and we shot off into this forest area. We kind of found our way in. And we were driving through there, and there was no real camping spots, nowhere to really just kind of set up with three kids and feel safe, So and we camped a lot. So we camped around Barlow Pass in Washington State, a lot. We camped every other weekend. for 2-3 years coming up to this. So pulling over and camping wasn't going to be an issue. There just wasn't really a good spot that felt okay. So as we were driving looking for a spot, we started seeing these signs that said the lodge. And I think originally it said like 30 miles or something like that. We had a full tank of gas, and we figured, why not? We'll go to a lodge. We'll see if there's, you know, if there's a lodge out here. We'll see. We had, you know, we brought enough money. We figured we'd spend a few $100 if we had to get everybody into a place and be safe for the night. So we started following these signs, and it just took us deeper and deeper into the this area, this federal forest out there in Idaho. And we ended up coming to this point where we came out of the woods a little bit, and you could see the road where we had to go. And it was on the ridge of a mountain. To the left and to the right was a complete like cliff drop off. And you could just see for miles in the distance. I mean, it was scary looking. There wasn't a whole lot of road to go across. So we go across this anyway. And not too long after this, for like 20 more minutes of driving, we come to this lodge, and it's not what you would think it is. Definitely, like, people erected this, folks that live out here that are not paying taxes. This is their spot. They're walking around out there with just guns and assault rifles out. At the time of year this was, in 2016, they had just passed an open carry law in Idaho, and these people were celebrating that there. So we felt very unsafe there. We didn't even ask if they had rooms. It looked like they might have had some type of in-structure thing going on, but We didn't even ask. We bought some milk to fill up the bottles. And we planned on going just a little farther to this lake area where on our map it said, I think it was Lake Pandora or Crystal Lake, some kind of lake right there, that it said there was going to be a rest stop or kind of area. So we were heading there. And when we got up to that area, it was clear that there was people just living there. I mean, there was kids in their underwear, like 13, 14-year-olds. Walking around in their underwear in and out of the lake and clotheslines. And it was like driving into somebody's front yard instead of what should have been a rest area with, you know, bathrooms and stuff. And you can see the bathrooms, they've just been converted into a home. So anyway, we turned around and decided we're going to get out of there. And we're going back much quicker. We figured we would just drive farther away and look for a hotel. We didn't care if we ended up back and watch. If we had to go to Spokane to get a hotel, we'd just drive back in the morning. So we were flying out of there, and we were going the same way for the most part that we came in. We were trying to follow back out, and we never came to that ridge point where we came across, and it was really hairy. You know, you're like, you're on the top of like some seriously tall mountains, and you're just looking down both directions, and it's like in the movies. You know, it's just wide enough for your vehicle to travel across. We never came back across that. Instead, we came out like halfway into this area where there was this rest stop. That on the left side of the hill, so on the, we're driving on the road, and on to our right, it dropped down. So it S'd down to a parking lot, and this is where we had our experience. This is where it got, where we both, my wife and I, had separate experiences, but just extremely strange. And it was paranormal, but it wasn't paranormal. So anyway, as I S'd down to the parking lot was rectangle. The driveway dropped kind of in the right center of the parking lot, and directly in front of you, it was just, I mean, it was a rectangle from left to right parking lot, and there was parking spots like maybe 12 to 15 from the left to the right, and directly in front of them was a guardrail, and it appeared the landscape just a few feet, you know, after the guardrail kind of sloped down 2 to 3 feet and then went out straight, and it just kind of had that same appearance for a while, and there were some hills in the background. It definitely wasn't like the huge drop-off area you'd seen before. It was kind of plain. And we stopped there so the kids could go to the bathroom and whatnot. And I'd gotten out of the car with the dog, and my wife got out with one of the girls and had taken her, was walking her over to the bathroom that was, there was a bathroom off to the right in this parking lot area where we parked. And as she was walking over there, and she was mentioning like, that looks strange. Doesn't that look strange? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I was just kind of stretching my legs after getting out of that area in the woods. I was kind of, you know, in this open area, I was happy. Yeah. To the left of the parking lot, there was a trail that went off, and you could see that it kind of went over to, there was some kind of structure, like a roofing kind of, almost like a pier that would have a roof, like wood slats on top. And you could see it kind of over to your left, just a little bit kind of outcropping. So I was going to take the dog and go walk over there. And my wife was bringing one of the girls back while I was telling her I was going to do that, and getting the other one to go to the bathroom. We had a youngest daughter was in a car seat, but she was asleep, so she wasn't in diapers. She wasn't going to be getting out. So I go over to the left and I go down this trail, and it's a walking path that's cemented, and it goes in to the left and the right and comes into this pier kind of. It's not a pier, but it's just an area that's covered, that's like 20 feet long. To the left, there's at waist height, there's like a display board that runs the length and to the end, and then it runs over in front of you directly, and then it comes back kind of like in a J shape, and it has writing and stuff on it. It's kind of explaining what is going on there. And as you're coming into this area, there's this structure on your left side is built into kind of like a rock wall that's maybe 3-4 feet tall right there, that's exposed over, you know, you can see kind of over it for just a few feet. There's like a little landscape area right there, and then some as you're walking into your left to this structure. So I walked into the structure, and I immediately just kind of walked into the back of it, and I looked out and I mean at the end of it, and I looked out into the direction where you would have been looking if you were at the car in the parking lot, looking straight out, and it looked plain, but it looked different, and I can't even begin to explain what it looked like, because my brain like didn't accept what I saw. I can't even explain it better, that I didn't see what I saw, but I saw something and was like, what the hell? And I looked down at the display board in front of me, and it didn't make any sense, like, for what I was looking at. So I was like, okay. I turned to my left, and I was walking back to the beginning of this display board, which was also back kind of at the beginning of where this structure had started. And I got to that spot. So I'm right at kind of the beginning of this wood structure. And to the left of me is just this little landscape area and that rock wall that's the natural rock wall that's in this, for this landscape area right there. And you could, if I wanted to, I could have climbed over that rock wall and kind of went over the structure and ran out to where, you know, down out into the area that I was looking at. But this wasn't my intention. It's just, it's right there, you know. And behind, just a little farther back, that's woods. So you can't really, you know, it's all green with the trees and whatnot. So you can't do anything. You just have to go back out that path back out to the parking lot. So just this landscape, me standing there. And while I'm standing there, somebody comes over that rock wall, and it looks just like a person, like me, and they look like they're wearing like blue or green Columbia like reindeer kind of wear, you know what I mean? And they like the hood's on or something's up, because I can make out the outline. Now this is in my peripheral, so I'm seeing this very quickly. Somebody takes like two steps, they squat down just like I would on top of like a structure or the, you know, a drop, anywhere you're kind of coming to the edge of, like a loading dock, and you're going to jump off, but you don't want to completely just jump off. You kind of squat down, put a hand down, and then just kind of leap down, you know? This person did that. And as they were doing this, it scared me. Like, they completely caught me off guard. So I was like, oh my God, you scared me. And as I was saying that, I was looking toward them, and I stopped. I didn't get it all the way out, because like fear of what I was looking at or seeing just completely. I mean, when you get goosebumps or goose pimples and all your hair stands up, that happened times 10. Like, just immediately it felt like my skin all over my body was like an inch off my body, because what I saw, I could see through. This person wasn't like a defined person. Like, you would see a person, I could see through them, kind of like the Predator or something in the movie, except it wasn't, the middle part of the person wasn't like shaped kind of like, you know, like a 3D image you were looking for. It was just kind of distorted and blurry, and it wasn't right, you know? And the person, when they moved, had an outline that was kind of like when you see like one of those NASA feeds, and it's of the Earth or whatever, and it's got the sun or whatever, some type of light hitting the atmosphere, and it's got that just light, thin yellow line that kind of glows above the atmosphere. This thing had that. It was like that same type of yellow neon just kind of glowing around the very outside of it when it moved. And when it stopped moving, like, so this thing, this guy this guy dropped, I mean, it was a guy. For all of my life experience, this was a person, not a Bigfoot, not anything crazy. This guy was my build, a little taller. I mean, I'm 5'5". This guy was about 5'8", 5'9", and kind of just military build, if that makes sense. And the attire, when I think back, was very much just military kind of outline attire. That the kind of, how do you explain it? Like a raincoat or something. The outline is not straight. It's not a straight line for your arm or whatever, because there's like wrinkles in the fabric or whatever. So anyway, this guy dropped, he like squatted down. He dropped down, and I turned and said, "Oh my God, I'm sorry. You scared me." You know what I mean? And I stopped. I didn't get, "You scared me all the way out," because the person, they dropped down. They took like a step forward, and they turned like facing me and put their arms at their side, and they just stopped moving. And when they stopped moving, and like the slower they went to when they stopped, that outline just kind of, it got harder to see. And the distortion between them kind of cleared, like in between the lines, like where his body was, kind of cleared up. And he just disappeared. Like he was gone. When he stopped moving, I couldn't see anything. And I, oh my God, I freaked out. I didn't jump or scream right now. Just my heart beat insanely in my chest. And my dog, I looked back up this, you know, to the end of the structure where I looked out originally, and to see my dog or say something to my dog, like, "Oh, what's going on?" And the dog had ran like away. He wasn't there. I looked back. He was back up the cement trail, that the path that led out of there, with his tail between his legs and his ear down, hauling ass. And I had to follow him, and I had to step by this guy. Now this landscape was right next to the trail, and this is an enclosed area. So when to walk down the path to go back out of here, you had to walk right by this person that was standing there. And this person was close enough that if they wanted to, they could have put their arm out, like leaned out and just grabbed me. So it scared me tremendously. And I ended up yelling, Bolt, what's wrong? And I like kind of took a step or two and then just broke into a dead sprint after the dog. I got out of that area back into the parking lot area. I didn't even look back. I was running, and as I ran to the car, I was slowing down in front of the car. All the kids were in the car, but my wife was in front of the truck, and she was just staring out into that open landscape area that's still kind of planted. She was asking me, "Do you see that?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I mean, I was scared out of my mind. And she noticed it right away and was asking, "What's wrong?" And I was telling her, I think I just saw something. Just, we got to go. And I just wanted her to get in the car, and she's like, "Do you see that over there, though? Doesn't that look funny? It's a green screen." I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was getting in the vehicle while she's saying this, and she was getting in with me. And I never stopped to take the time, because I was so scared to look at what she was looking at or to really appreciate what she was saying. I began to get more of what she was talking about as we were getting out of there. But my concern once leaving that rest area or whatever that was to just get the hell out of there. I wanted back to civilization and out of that whole federal forest area. So it was later that she was, I could actually hear her and hear what she was saying. And what she was saying was that when we parked, looking directly out in front of us, she could see a line, like, I mean, a square. She could make out a defined square where the like there was a green screen where the landscape didn't match what was on the side of it. I mean, I don't know how to explain it any better than that. Like the colors were off. Like she hopefully will call in one day and explain this from her side of it. And let you know that, cause she didn't see what I saw and experience what I experienced. And I didn't really experience what she experienced, but for lack of, I mean, better understanding, she said that the entire landscape in front of us to a point from left to right and at a certain height and began at a certain distance out, that she said we could have walked out, or if we would have picked up rocks, she said we could have thrown it at him at this, you know, scene in front of us, and that it would have gone through it or hit something. Or she was adamant that what she was seeing was fake. It was just a screen projecting like an image. And what that was or what we saw, but it definitely was not paranormal in the sense of Bigfoot and UFOs and all of those kind of things. It was, this was like, man, this was definitely a human. I mean, there was nothing that scared me in that sense while I experienced it. in my wife's experience with the green screen, it would all kind of suggest, I don't know, you know, some type of military operation or movement, or I don't know. I'd hate to, I'm speculating, but I hate to speculate. And I don't know for the life of me. I looked out at the landscape from the end of that structure, and I have a blank. I do not know what I saw. I know that it didn't match what I thought I should be saying, and that's why I walked over to go and begin reading what the display area was saying about the area and why it was or whatever. And that's when the dude dropped down next to me and changed my whole perception of what you should be aware of and afraid of. And it's potentially people out there hunting and doing things. They might, you know, these see-through things. I don't think those are necessarily always Bigfoot or ghosts. I think there's definitely some kind of technology being used that's hiding people. And I think that movement and light, neon, things like that have something to do with how they're working. Anyway, that's my experience. Thank you. Love the show. Completely hooked. And we'll keep listening as long as you keep making them. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, my name is Jen. I was calling in because my husband, Justin, and I, we were traveling towards Idaho to go to Silverwood. Other than small gatherings in Coeur d'Alene when I was a small child, I'd never been to Idaho or done anything in that area. I was very unfamiliar with the area. It was extraordinarily hot. 4th of July weekend, had our 3 children with us. And we're traveling to try to find a place to stay. We wanted to find free camping. And I don't know exactly how it felt like we got so lost off the trail, came through these long paths and stuff and roads and came to this lodge. And the lodge was just weird. I can't even explain to you. It looked like some cute little country place, just kind of like an old Western kind of situation, just in the middle of the woods. And you walk into it, and it felt like some weird Stephen King movie where all the people I'm, you know, entering into this building into, like they all, like I've known them from somewhere, or there's some type of significance to them. But there's this one man that is across the counter in the bar that when you walk in, I went in to get our daughter milk because it was so hot. The milk that we'd had for her in the car, it was not safe to give. So I go in there to ask if we can get milk for her sippy cup. And I just noticed this one guy just keeps looking at me and staring at me. And I see the Seattle Mariners umbrella in the corner by a newspaper. And I don't know why, but I keep looking at it here throughout the entire time that I'm waiting for this milk. And we were from the Seattle area at that time. We'd driven out from Mount Lake Terrace in Washington State. And it was just weird. The people, everything took so long. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me what the significance of it was to these people that just were just staring at me. And as we came into the lodge, there were lots of people outside, like in a picnic area, and they were all just kind of having a picnic or a party or something. It wasn't huge, but there was a good amount of people, at least 20, 30 people out there. Didn't really take much notice to the fact that I guess when they came out, I noticed that they all had guns holstered on the side and whatnot. But being in the lodge, it seemed to just take for absolute ever. Paid $4 for the sippy cup of milk. Talked to a gentleman. It felt like he asked me knew my whole life story. That's how long I was there. And by the time I came out, the kids and my husband were tired and in the sun. And a lot of people, all those people that had come from the picnic area, they had come up towards the lodge to the entrance where I was. So I went from being nobody there to coming out to all these people with guns and saying, hey, and just acting strange. Like no one wanted to talk. It was like all body language and everybody was kind of like approaching slowly like some weird zombie movie. They just weren't zombies. And I was very happy to get back in the truck. And as soon as I did, my husband, Justin, pointed out, did you notice how many of them were all carrying guns? And I guess to find out later, I guess that gun law had been passed in their state or whatever. So they were pretty happy to have open gun law or whatever. But it was just so weird. And then we're like, okay, we got to figure out our camping spot. We got to find a store so we don't have to pay a lodge $4 for milk because our daughter's going to need it again soon. It was so hot. The kids were complaining. I don't really know how much further we traveled. It felt like forever. I would say miles and miles. And the roads became thinner. And there were some really great places that him and I both wished that we would have taken pictures of. I mean, the road just seemed so thin, and on one side, huge dips and trees and everything, and it was just really neat. But as we went further and further down the road, he says, oh, there's like a little lake we can go down to, and we went down a road that was, I mean, it got less exciting, less maintained, let's put it that way, and thinner. And then you find that there's mobiles and trailers and small houses, and it leads you down to the lake. But the people along the way, here we are, it's like the hills have eyes kind of crap. Things were just weird. The people that we encountered were definitely unique and different. And I don't know how to describe it. There was just this overwhelming feeling of like, we definitely cannot stay here. Just trying to find a place to turn around was tough enough. But I can remember him and I feeling very urgent, like, we just need to get out of here. Felt like wrong turn kind of situation, just get out. And then as we're leaving out of there, we are back on the road, but we realized that we didn't get to go back the way that we came in. So there was only like one option. So how did that happen? And it felt like we were traveling forever to try to find this free camp spot. And then we hit a rest area off the side of the road. And finally, I tell my husband, I was like, finally, something seems like familiar, you know, like this actually seems like a rest stop. It's not some weird place. There's not a bunch of people. It's not populated with interesting things or weird signs or, you know, warning signs. Someone will shoot you. Like, no trespassing. We finally get to an actual, like, what seems like a great rest stop. Beautiful view, or so I thought. So we get out of the car, and my daughter, I have three daughters. My oldest, she travels into the bathroom, which I can say like was like the shape of a hexagon or an octagon. It was like a yurt or something. Only a toilet, and it wasn't one you could flush. There was no sink. There was no windows. And it was very, I mean, it was okay for the maintenance, I suppose. It was kind of icky. Anyway, she goes in there to go to the bathroom. There's this large rock wall that extends out, and I'm just kind of peering out, looking at all the beautiful forests and everything. It's almost like a Bob Ross painting in a way. My husband, he has to also go to the bathroom, so he goes and travels down further on a path, figures let the girls use the restroom, and him and our dog go down for him to find out kind of more about the area and to relieve himself. So as he's down there, he's experiencing what he thinks is just him and the dog down there, and he finished going to the bathroom, and he's looking at kind of a post of things explaining what's going on in the area, and then he feels this presence behind him. And he goes to turn around and say he's sorry and realizes that this person's like translucent. Doesn't really look like a person, like wearing a clear suit is what he explained to me. And this is my husband, Justin. He called in a couple months ago to explain his side of the story. Anyway, I'm still up at the rock, not realizing that Justin's experiencing this. And I'm realizing that everything that I'm looking at looks like a green screen. I felt like if I could have just had like a slingshot, I could have taken like Bart Simpson style and totally, you know, flung something out there and hit what's supposed to look like it's so far away. It looked like huge just screens up in front of me, at least three of them. And one was, I mean, you really had to look to find the seam. And I was trying to show my husband Justin when he came back up the path, but he looked like he'd seen a ghost. He was just absolutely just like sweating and looked scared and looked like he'd seen a ghost. And me, I'm sitting here just like wanting to tell him like, oh my God, look out here. It's not even real. Like all this that I thought looked so wonderful. And he's not really paying attention to me because he'd already gone through his own thing. And as he's trying to explain to me that he's scared, we need to leave. He's trying to tell me what he saw. The dog had already ran off way ahead of him. I mean, he's like, I saw someone that wasn't even there, and he was just freaking out. And then as he's trying to convey this to me and be like, where's our oldest daughter, Ashley? Where's she at? You know, and I'm like, she's in the bathroom. And as I'm saying that to him, she'd already been in there. I mean, we really weren't there that long, 4 or 5 minutes. And then she starts screaming. She says she saw somebody in the bathroom. There's no windows. I've been standing at one of the side where there's the entrance to this bathroom. I mean, I'm not leaving my kids up there. My other two are asleep in the car. It's very hot. And she's just screaming, Mom, there's someone that was in here. I don't know where they went. But the door was shut. I was there the whole time. There's no windows. This thing is like, it's a, the bathroom is just a toilet, and it's like a dug hole. They have to have come, people have to come and maintain it. There's no flusher. There's not even a sink inside. I don't know how she saw someone, but she made it sound like after we'd all kind of talked later on, you know, kind of like what Justin said, somebody just kind of appeared and then kind of disappeared. And I didn't see anyone. But when I went into the bathroom, and it's huge and echoey, I went in there to check on her and the situation that was going on. And I felt like there was someone there. That's when it felt all Harry Potter and you know, just like someone's there breathing. You can hear them, but you cannot see them. And how do I tell my child who that, you know, everything's fine, honey. There's nobody in here but you and I, because I felt that would have been a complete lie. And then Justin was screaming, let's go, let's go. He wanted out of there. The car was already started. He had got the dog. We barely jumped in and shut the door. I mean, I didn't even have a chance to get my safety belt on, and I'm yelling at him, what is the freaking hole? I'm like, hurry. I mean, he hadn't fully explained to me everything down there, and what I had heard, I didn't feel, you know, was like alarming yet. But I mean, we got all in that car and started sharing what we were experiencing. And the moment he said that about the guy in the suit, I just said, yeah, like, but I said, it gets so, like, they are really invisible. I mean, you can't see anything. But I was like, I could feel somebody else's presence. I could hear someone else breathing. And like I said, we had to leave so much. I, to this day, wish that we had gone back. I so desperately want to go back and have answers, just the green screen thing alone. I mean, the seams, I could see the seams. I was trying to point it out to him, but he didn't really want to look because he was worried about what he had just experienced. And then my daughter experiencing something else. I mean, there were people there that you couldn't see. That's just, you can't, there's people there. There's a presence. I mean, we couldn't ignore it. I mean, and it just, I felt like I was in this trance. I was so wanting to like figure out more about this place. Like I was ready to explore more. My daughter and my husband were like, no freaking way. And like I said, we were gone. We had such a weird experience at trying to find anything for camping. It's like the 4th of July weekend. And we extended our stay because the girls were, you know, on summer break. And we were just excited to maybe, you know, they'd never been to Idaho and thought this is going to be awesome. But we ended up being so freaked out of Idaho that we literally drove out of Idaho into Montana, which I had never been before, just to sleep at a rest stop because we were so scared and didn't want to stay anywhere in Idaho and have never returned since. It was just crazy. I don't know how to explain it any better than I felt like maybe we went to like some type of weird government place or something that we weren't supposed to the whole way home. And this is hours and hours and hours. I mean, we hit Eastern Washington and I still, Spokane area, and I still didn't feel fully safe again. I felt like we learned too much. We'd stumbled upon something that we shouldn't have. It was just, everything was out of weird movies. I can name 5 or 6 movies and it feels like if you put them all together, like that's what we were living. And I still, you know, I still think about the faces that were in that lodge on the people that were just staring at me like I stuck out like a sore thumb. I mean, even the bartender who was, he seemed very young. I wondered if he was even old enough to serve alcohol. He had had a young son. And like I said, I was sitting there so long and kept asking me so many personal questions. And I told my husband, I said, I felt so stupid that I shared so much with him because, you know, it felt like it was all a part of the same kind of thing, like something we weren't supposed to do. And the fact that we were scared to go back that way and never encountered going back that way. How did we go one way in and there being only one way out and coming out something completely different? It felt very Twilight Zone. I don't know. There's so much more. It sounds crazy. but I mean, I guess plus the people that call in probably feel like people see them that way, but I really enjoy your guys' show. We love it, and thank you so much for all your great stories that you guys do. Thanks for listening to ours. All right, have a good day.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Man, those are really interesting stories. You know, with this, man, the Glimmer Man. Is it a ghost? I don't know. From what their accounts, they didn't think that it felt like a ghost. They said it felt like it was a person using some type of advanced technology where they were able to cloak themselves. I mean, Jen, she talks about how her and her daughter were in the bathroom. They could hear someone in the room, but they couldn't see them. They could hear them breathing and everything. And then, of course, Justin, he was out with his dog. And he's like, dude, it looked like the Predator from the Predator movie. And then the whole setting seems strange. Like, I don't know if this, it's hard to categorize it. Is this a time slip? Because part of the story kind of sounds like it was a time slip. They went down this path. There was the strange town or village they were in. Looked like it was from an older era. When they left, there was only one way in, but when they left, it was a different route. The scenery looked like it was on a green screen. She even talked about staring and trying to find the seams in the green screen.
Say, that's crazy.
And she tried to explain it to her husband, but he was already freaked out by what he saw, so they just got out of there, so she didn't have time to really show it to him. She talked about how that they would love to go back and try to find where they were again to see if they could even find it.
That's so crazy.
You know, I know what they're talking about, not specifically, but you ever have a moment in time where you're somewhere, you're at an event, I don't know if it's a sporting event or a party or something, but while you're in the moment, you just like want to go home for whatever reason,
yes.
And you want to leave, and you go.
All the time.
And then later you look back and you're like, man, I wish I would have just hung around a little longer. I think that happened to us when we were hanging out with the Huffmans. You know, congratulations to Logan and Lisa Huffman on their recent marriage, but we hung out with them and it was late. It was like, I don't know, midnight or something. And we left. They asked us if we wanted to stay and hang out and we left. And I remember like next week or so, I was like, man, we should have just went ahead
and stayed.
It could have been a really good time, but us being crotchety old men, we wanted to get home. I don't know what these sightings are, but this Glimmer Man seems to be a real thing. Part of me wants to say it's a ghost. Another part of me is like, man, is it like the military or some breakaway society that's using top secret technology to toy with people? Or, you know, is it like the Predator where this is an extraterrestrial that's visiting planet Earth and it's trying to move around freely, but it's camouflaged, but not all the way? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is where all the missing hunters and stuff are going in David Politis's books. I don't know, but it is creepy. And I thought this was just a few rare cases where people had seen this. But it seems like more and more. If you have a sighting like that of your own, you would like to share with me and Cam, please don't hesitate. Email the story in expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 817-945-3828. You can change your name if you want us to leave your name off. You know, just put it in the email. Create a pseudonym if you want.
That's right.
Big thanks again to our sponsors, Bombas. Don't forget, go to bombas.com/expanded. That's BOMBAS.com, and you'll get 20% off your first order. Don't forget to use the promo code expanded. Also, Ridge Wallets get 10% off today with free worldwide shipping by going to ridgewallet.com/EP. That's ridgewallet.com/EP, and use the code EP10 or 10 for 10% off your order. Cam, what do you got planned for your week? I know you got a birthday coming up. Next week is Thanksgiving. Are you going out of town?
No, we're actually not going in. Well, I might be. I may be going on a little hunting trip or whatnot. I don't know for sure yet. But if nothing else, I will be in the stand trying to put the herd on some pigs that I've had coming in. I'm tired of them. Yeah, one of them, the boys could have ridden. Yeah, he was a solid 250-pounder that come in, and I had my stick bow. I just couldn't get the range on him. There was no way. I mean, and to be honest, he would probably have to have been 15 yards or less for it to do anything to him.
Right.
Like, looking at him, I'm like, this is a baby rhino. Like, this is what I'm fixing to encounter. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not in the ground blind. I'm up in the ladder stand. I'm like, yeah, he comes by here. But he never came by. There's a trail goes right by me, and he was just not having it. He just circled and went off in the creek and kept moving. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I've got planned. I don't really have anything big going on.
We're going close, just the next town to our town, as far as I have to go, 30 minutes away. And then I think on Friday we're going to my mother's house.
There you go.
And so since over there, she said she's got lots of dough coming in at her place, so I might have to knock one of those down. But that's all I've got planned. A big shout out to Donald Cerrone.
Yes.
The most wins in UFC history and
the most finishes.
Most finishes, so hats off to him. I feel bad for the Korean Zombie. Do you see the way that lasts, like 3 seconds of that fight?
I felt real bad for that guy, yeah.
It was an incredible,
it was a great
awkward
fight,
elbow, right?
Yeah. It was a great fight, though.
Pretty close. I think there's some other good ones coming up. Do you have any other movies coming out that you're going to go check out?
I've got to go see Bohemian Rhapsody this weekend. I haven't got a chance to go see that, and I want to go see it.
Luke and the boys and Dalee went and saw the new Grinch. She said it was good. She thought that they were going to ruin it, you know, because the Grinch is the Grinch. But she said the new one was pretty good. I know Luke liked it. So
yeah.
Might want to check that out.
I have to check it out.
All right. Well, everybody have a good Thanksgiving holiday. If everybody overseas, just be good to one another. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.